Welcome to Ram Radio with Pastor John Coleman of Into the Word Ministries, the Biblical Alternative. Ram Radio stands for Reformation Apologetics Ministry. Ram Radio is a program for the Christian who is constantly learning and growing in the Word of God. The discussions during Ram Radio will challenge each listener to know what they believe and why they believe it. Sometimes the discussions will challenge your salvation. Stay with us and investigate the scriptures to know what is expected of the man or woman who claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Get your Bible ready. Here's Pastor John Coleman.
Thank you, Mark Ramsey, so much for that wonderful introduction. Reformation, Apologetic Ministry, the Biblical Alternative, Ram Radio. Today is August the 28th, Monday, 2012. And you're listening to the webcast. Thank you for joining me. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says, "Sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give them an account of the hope that is in you, with gentleness and with reverence." In a world of professing Christians, you, that true believer, must always classify yourselves as those who are justified in righteousness by your position in Jesus Christ. This divine absolutism must be affirmed by the standard of the Word of God alone. Into the Word speaks to those absolutes, and that's why you've tuned in to the broadcast today. Thank you for joining me. I'm so glad that I can share with you. You know, I read a lot of articles from time to time, and I usually do commentary on them, and the commentary that I bring forth are my personal views about the commentary that I've looked at. Here recently, there was an ad on the HuffPost, since I subscribe to AOL News, and at times they have it up here, and it says, "Roseville AME Zion Black Church fights to sustain traditions as connection to history." Now, that grabbed my attention, and I read the article. Let's see. Okay, wait a minute. I got a brother thanking me for something on some email, and I'll read that a little bit later in the webcast. What is it about Christianity? This is what I thought after reading through a portion of the article. What is it about my Christian heritage that I would like to retain? When I look at the idea of that I want to retain, that can remain in my life. One thing that I've found and recognized in my life is that in order for me to retain a healthy, sustaining relationship with God, I have to stay into the Word of God. I can't drift from the Bible. Now, quite naturally, we like to think of the place that we worship, the church, the building, and all those kinds of things that define us as who we are. We like to think of the fellowship that we have with the people when we, in like manner, attend the churches. So it's not the building, it's not the fellowship, because the people don't believe in biblical Christianity. There is a tradition. This article started off that I was reading. The lady was talking about her eating barbecue ribs, chicken, and pork, and she said she ate every bit of it, and that was her tradition of being a Christian in the African-American church. It's not mine. Number one, she said she ate all of it, and I would respond by saying I'll have none of it, maybe a little barbecue chicken, and that would be pressing it too much with that. So what are the things that hold me in tack with God? Is it the church? If you're a woman, is it the wearing of the hats? Is it the way you walk in and say howdy to the pastor? What are those things that hold you in tack? What holds you together? And that's what I want to talk about. And there's no better way to do it than to use the Word of God. So I'm just going to arbitrarily, and I mean that, arbitrarily, I'm going to go into my Olive Tree Bible program, and I'm going to attempt to answer that question for the rest of the time that we have on the webcast. And so while I'm doing that, let me take care of a little letter work. On yesterday, Sunday, Brother Mark wrote me and he asked me a question about lust on Sunday morning. And I think I was putting together the Sunday morning sermon, and I wrote him something back, and Mark wrote me back, and I'd like to share it with you all over the world. Thank you, Mark, for your response. He's, as a matter of fact, if you would like to read what his, oh no, I didn't put it up on the website, so I'll just read this. Thank you, my friend, for presenting the answer to my question the way you did. It's very much appreciated. I've never even considered the thought of lusting for a new car. And yes, while I would love to trade in my vehicle for a brand new, leather-smelling, fully loaded, chrome-finished vehicle, that new car comes with a new payment every 30 days. And even though my truck requires some work, I am enjoying my life without the car payment. Then he goes on, because he asked me a question about lust. Then he goes on and says, as for lust of the flesh, whew, that's a huge issue, my friend, that people tend to keep hidden away in that closet. And me, well, I should get married. Well, Mark, I want to thank you for writing to me, and I hope that I've been of some help to you. Got another response back from, Brother Al. You can see his letter to me, and I'll leave it up a few more days. It's right under the Sunday morning sermon. As a matter of fact, he and his wife, for Sunday morning, a visual sermon, was looking at that sermon series entitled, The Role Model Mary, the Mary Factor. And he wrote me back and said, amen, brother, you are funny. And then he says, I know those women in that service back then must be looking at you crazy when you talked about how God was looking for a submissive woman and not a superwoman. So true. My wife had to laugh at that one. You were on point with that. God bless. Thank you again, Al, for your wonderful comments. I mean, you know, it's just great that I can receive comments from brothers and sisters all around the country when they go through my work on the website. And it really makes me feel like, well, I'm doing something that is standing out that will give God the glory. And I really want to thank many of you that's been coming to the website on a regular basis. Let's get into this idea. So what do we do? What do we look for? The church the way it was, our faith the way it was, has changed. It is not the same. It will never be the same again. Just as Sunday is gone and Monday is upon us and Tuesday is right around the corner, if we live, we will never be the same. So what could God say to us that can encourage us to be strong as we live in a world that doesn't seem to relegate our faith to them in any way? Paul wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. He said, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. Now, that speaks volumes, because what God is saying is, through the pen of the beloved Apostle Paul, he wants us to be on the alert because there's going to be more changes, drastic changes, coming in our lives. If you've listened to some recent clips of mine, I told you that I disagree with the president. Some people disagree with President Obama, but they hate him. They want to bring harm to him. I don't want to do that, but I disagree with him, and I disagree with him strongly. I disagree with his policies, and primarily, practically all of the policies of the Democratic Party. What do I believe about America? In order for America to be strong, I'll say this again, she has to be free and independent and not under obligation to help every other American. Every American that comes here that's living under the auspices of freedom and justice, and I know this sounds crazy coming from me as a black man, because you usually don't hear us speak like that. Well, I believe it's Representative Alan West from Florida. Yesterday, Sunday, he said that President Obama has just given the country a bunch of crap. Well, I am in total agreement with Congressman West. And so I find people that I agree with because I'm old school. I didn't grow up wanting anybody to do anything for me. So how do I persevere? How do I get along? How do I make it in this society? Be on the alert. That's what God tells me. Stand firm in the faith. I'm not going to waffle on my faith. I'm not going to waffle on those fundamental beliefs that I know to be true in my life. I can't make statements like John MacArthur and these other people make in order to keep the money rolling in order to pacify people. I'm going to make statements like a true first century believer. I'm going to make somebody mad at me. I'm going to tick somebody off. You can look at all those sermons that I have on the YouTube pages as well as on my website and see people's face or reaction to what I'm saying. They did not care for it at all. And it is not my purpose to get anybody to care for me. It is my purpose to say it like it is. When I looked at my devotion for this morning, August 28th, it really surprised me because it said, "The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. They overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yes, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Now, it may not look like that as you see you're losing that job or losing that argument or coming in contact with more people that are viable for the enemy than for Christ. That through death, what did Jesus do? He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, to deliver them who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to bondage. In all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that was a good rolling set of scriptures. Revelation 12:10, Revelation 12:11, Romans 8:33-34, Colossians 2:15, Hebrews 2:14-15, Romans 8:37, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 17, and 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. Now, when I get in from work on Monday evening, I'll probably read my Monday evening, which encourages me about the tree of life. Listen to what it says. "God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. As the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the praise of God, in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river. Was there a tree of life which bare 12 manners or kinds of fruit, and yields her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Now what does that do to us? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. Length of days is in her right hand, and she is as a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone that retaineth her, that is wisdom. Jesus Christ is made unto us wisdom. That's how we go ahead. That's how we go further. You know, when I think about the little Baptist church that I was introduced to by my grandmother when she orchestrated the whole family going to that church, I finally became the pastor of that little Baptist church. That was the tradition. Here recently, I've been going around just looking up the people that I cohorted with, that I wanted to hang out with, that I spent time in that church, loving, believing the writ. And most of the people don't even want to see me anymore. I give them a call. They don't return my call. They don't want to hang out with me. They don't want to have anything to do with me. And I tell you, I understand why old people get real lonely, and the ones that really don't have Christ in their life think about doing something to themselves because they don't feel worthy. But I like that scripture that I read earlier. And I'd like to read another one to you. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 is a good verse for me. It encourages me, and I hope that it encourages you also. It says, "Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth." In other words, you find the truth in the scriptures. You won't find it in too many churches today. You're not going to find it. You're going to find females that call themselves pastors. That's not truth, because the Bible never said that they could have that position. That's not standing firm in the truth. That's believing a lie. And God will not be mocked. "Having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Righteousness ought to be that which guards our lives. It's not necessarily the pastor. It's not necessarily the auxiliary or board members or things like that that we used to depend upon. I think about people having prayer partners and accountability groups that they put themselves in the company of. Those things aren't necessarily the things that will be able to keep you and or sustain you. The things that sustain you is a true breastplate of righteousness. Now, how do we stand? How do we stand? "Therefore, my beloved," Philippians 4:1. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy, my crown, in this way stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." See, Paul says, you just better keep on standing in Christ. As we go through the crises, I don't know what's going to come on this nation. I hope that his beloved peace that has shrouded me for years will continue to persuade me that I would not have to look to my closet to get my pistol to defend myself against egregious behavior. I hope that I would not have to do that. But it appears today that our society is at the crossroads, because we have forsaken God, and in forsaking him, we have embraced, we've sowed our seed to the wind, and now we are about to reap the whirlwind. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 speaks about this standing. He says, "Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions as he has seen. He has seen inflated without a cause by his fleshly mind. In other words, some people are standing in a lie. What the Apostle Paul is saying is we have to make sure that we are standing solely in the truth of God. That is where he wants us to stand. Colossians 4:12 says, Epaphras, what a word, Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings. Always, now look what he's doing, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers that you may what? Stand perfect and fully assured in all of the will of God. Sometimes we get a little confused about what the will of God is for our lives. The will of God for our lives is just as important today as it was yesterday. I want you to find God's will for your life and to walk in that will. That's very important. All right, how do we stand? 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 8. For now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. So Paul uses this term often as he writes to the various churches there in Asia Minor, and with the proposition if. In other words, you go forward if you are standing, if you are attempting to come to the positive aspect of our faith that the Christians did back in the first century. Don't get caught up into this 20 and 21st century, because a lot of that we think is standing isn't standing at all. If you recall, I've taught this before, when the Word of God is admonishing us to stand firm in our faith, he wants us to stand firm as a martyr, as one who is sacrificed, whose life is worthless if he cannot live for God. I'm not perpetrating suicide, but what I'm perpetrating is be ready for the persecution when it comes your way if you are standing. I believe that it will come our way in this life. I was talking with a brother not too many days ago, and we reiterated the fact that we were under the tremendous impression that we would live throughout the rest of our years without experiencing what the Bible says the Antichrist is going to bring on the nations of the world. Well, I've lived a long time, and I believe I see that time approaching. Let's end this. Paul ends it up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. He says, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whereby, whether by word or by mouth or by letters from us." Now, I'm sure that Paul wasn't talking about eating barbecue and every bit of it. I'm sure he wasn't talking about what goes on in our churches today to stand by that. His frame of reference was quite different from ours in this century that we live in. So it would be encumbersome upon each and every single one of us to make sure, first of all, that we are standing in the power and strength of the Lord, and make sure that if others are standing for us, excuse me, you hear that cough. If others are standing for us, that they are standing in terms of praying for us to get to the place where we ought to be, to stand alone, on our own. Really, in the faith, all you need is Christ. He's real, and he'll stand up in your life. And when that takes place, everything will take care of itself. Well, thank you for joining me on this Monday for another webcast. Just 24 minutes. I'm back on the college front. You know how that is. Hopefully, Lord willing, I'll be back with tomorrow's exciting webcast. God bless you. You know the drill. Whatever you do, stay in the Word.